Good morning. Yeah, I guess so. Well, my name is Tari. I'm from Cairo, Egypt. And I've been in the U.S. for 4 years. Next year is my last year in Florida College to get my bachelor's degree. And then I'm not sure what my plans are, but probably going to move somewhere out of Florida because I'm not a big fan. So last summer, I actually traveled 10,000 miles, been to 15 different states to preach. I preached every Sunday morning and night. For the morning services, I usually did my lesson on how did I convert from Islam to Christianity and what is basically the major differences. And for Sunday nights, I used to say a lesson. I used to have a lesson for that, but the majority of people told me they would like to have a Q&A session because they just have a lot of questions and they would like me to answer them. So this summer, I'm taking 4 online classes, a lot of stuff to do over the summer, so I don't have time to do as much traveling and preaching as last summer. So I think this summer I'm just preaching a couple times. I preached last Sunday in Jonesboro, class morning and night, and there was a baptism on last Sunday, so I was really excited and happy about it. And today Don Patton, I don't know if you guys know him or not, but he told me to come and preach today here in Mountain Home, and I loved it here. Driving here took me 4 hours to get to Hot Springs, but not as bad as last summer. So I want to thank you all so much for giving me a chance to be here and speak with you all today. So on Saturday, March 1st, 2008, I have experienced a death that has completely changed my life. That day, I was 17 years old. I was freshman in college. I was studying business in Cairo University. I was playing soccer semi-pro, and I was going to play soccer professionally. I had a fiance. She was Muslim. Almost all my friends were Muslims. My family were Muslim, so was I. That's my university in Cairo. I was freshman. I've been always had passion about business. I always want to have my own tourism agency. I was so lucky I got to travel to 20 different countries. My dad was always working outside Egypt in a construction company. So every summer break and Christmas break, I used to go spend it with him. So I've been to 25 countries. And I believe that everybody likes to travel, but it's kind of expensive to nobody. So not a lot of people travel as much as they would like to. And that's what I would like to do. I would like to have my own tourism agency one day. That's my semi-pro team I used to play with. I started playing soccer. When I was 7 years old, I used to play at home and destroy a lot of stuff. So my dad told me, you know what, we're going to take you to a club to see if you really can play or not. And so I played in that club for from 7 years old till 19 years old. My fiance Hagar, we started dating when I was 16 years old. And I proposed to her when I was 19, right before I get baptized, right before I convert to Christianity. Then we broke up when I came to U.S. So March 1st, late that afternoon, I just was done with my soccer practice. I was heading back home, and I was going back home with my friend Kareem. And he was my absolute best friend. I knew him all my life. He was living in the house right beside me. He went to the same school with me, went to the same university with me, played soccer in the same club with me. I knew him all my life. I knew him since we were 4 years old. That's a picture of me and him when we were 6 years old, or 7 years old. So we're heading back home. We had to cross the street to go take the bus to go back home from the practice. And I don't know if you guys heard about Cairo traffic or not, but there's 15 million people living in Cairo, and traffic there is, well, you know, traffic is bad. Anyway, so we were heading back home, and Kareem stepped before me. He just did one step before I do, and as soon as he did that, he got hit by a car, and it was really tough. I mean, I knew him all my life. He was always with me, and just your best friend got hit by a car, and the car actually hit him. Then like he flew like 10 feet, and then ran over him again, and I saw that, and I was in shock. I mean, I didn't know what to do to him. And I tried to help, I tried to do everything I can do for him, but I didn't help him, and he died. And for a while. I was so mad at everything. I mean, he was just 17 years old. Are you kidding me? I didn't expect him to die that young. But he just gone. And I was Muslim, and I knew, you know, I was really sad, but I knew just eventually I'm going to see him one day, you know. He's dead, but one day I will get to see him. But I had a lot of friends who were not Muslims, and I really felt so bad for them. Because Kareem died, but I know eventually I'll get to see him, but I have a lot of friends who were not Muslims. And so I tried to read about different kind of religions so I can have a good argument to be able to convert non-Muslims into Islam. But I ended up converting my own self into Christianity. And for a while, I mean, I just tried to read all the books, because the majority in Egypt is just Muslims and Coptic Christians. That's what we have in Egypt. 80% Muslims, or 75% are Muslims, and 25% are Coptic Christians. So I tried to read about Christian or Coptic Christian, what they read and how they study, and eventually I was trying to have a good argument to convert them, but eventually I just converted my own self into Christianity. So I'm not really good at PowerPoint, and I had someone to help me to do this PowerPoint, and he's my Bible class teacher, and he did the next slide for me. I don't know why he did it, but he told me just keep it all the way there, and I'll try to. I think I speak faster, so I don't know, but anyway. So I grew up in Cairo, Egypt, and Cairo is the capital of Egypt. There's 15 million people live in Cairo. And the Egyptian population is about 90 million. There's 65 million Muslims in Egypt. Makes about 80% of the population in Egypt are Muslims. And Islam goes back to you for a long, long time ago. This mosque is actually one of the oldest mosques that was built in Egypt. That's where President Obama, when he came to Cairo, he visited that mosque. It's really one of the oldest mosques in Cairo. And that's how it looks from inside. And it doesn't matter what time you're going to go there, it's always full of people. You know, you pray five times a day, and it doesn't matter what time you go there, you always find people there. And I have been there many, many times. And because my dad was always working outside Egypt all his life, and for 10 years he lived in Saudi Arabia. And I've been to Saudi Arabia many, many times with my dad. And I don't know if you guys heard about Mecca or not, but you can call it the capital of the Muslim world, and to go there you have to be a Muslim. Now let me ask you all a question. What do you think, how many people are there? Any estimation, any guesses?
I've heard that there's several million show up for that.
Okay, any other guesses? Okay, there's at least 3 million people in this picture, and I've been there many, many times. And in Saudi Arabia, you can buy cigarettes, you can buy tobacco, but you can't buy alcohol, except in Mecca. It's illegal to buy tobacco or to smoke tobacco in Mecca. And to get inside the city, there's a checkout points outside the city, and they check you in before you get in, and you have to be a Muslim to get in. So nobody can get inside unless you're a Muslim. So let's go back to Egypt. The Coptic Christians in Egypt. The Coptic Church in Egypt, it's the biggest church in Egypt, Africa, and the Middle East. It's basically was established when Jesus came from Palestine, when he was a baby, and escaped from Palestine and came to Egypt. And people in Egypt were always very religious, and they believed in him when he was a baby, and they marked all the places that he has been to in Egypt. And they built church in all the places that Jesus has been to when he was a baby, and they basically, these are holy lands, and they go there to worship him. And that's how the Coptic Church started in Egypt, and it's Egyptian church. And because the Egyptian population is pretty much diverse, pretty much just, you know, between Muslim and Coptic Christian, there is usually nothing wrong at all. Where I used to live in Egypt, almost all the neighborhood were Christian people, and we were completely fine. A lot of my friends were Coptics. It's just completely okay. But the problem is, when somebody convert from Islam to Christianity. I remember I got baptized in 2009, I believe. But 5 years before that, I don't remember in which country, but there was a guy who was a Muslim, and he converted to Christianity, and his own dad killed him. So that was always in my mind when I tried to read the Bible, when I tried to convert. It was always in my background. I was always very scared of what happened, and I was always trying to stay safe, not to get caught, I guess. So, as I said, I started reading about all the religion, tried to have a good argument to convert non-Muslim people into Islam. And let me tell you what, all the religion, all the books, all of them basically tells you the same thing. All of them tells you God is great and God loves you and he's going to save you one day. Just trust in him and just believe in him and he's going to save you one day. But you never actually know how he's going to save you. But you have to just believe that he's going to save you. Except in one book, it actually tells you how God already has a plan long time ago to save you. And I started reading the Bible. It was very different than any other book I ever read. So I started reading the Bible. But whatever I was reading didn't make any sense to me at all. And I think it was my fault because I started reading Revelation. And that's not a place to start reading the Bible. I mean, whatever I was reading didn't make any sense to me and I felt completely lost. I was like, what? But one day I was reading and I read Acts 8 verse 30 and 31. And it basically tells you, he heard somebody reading Isaiah the prophet and he told him, do you understand what you're reading? And he was like, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? And I was like, you know, I will need somebody to explain what Revelation means to me. But I was very scared to go to all my friends in Egypt. I have a lot of Coptic Christians and I was just very scared to go to any of them and ask them to help me to understand what I was reading. And I just started thinking, what do I have to do? I can't understand what I'm reading and I just need somebody to help me. But I was 17 years old and there was a great innovation called internet. And so I went on the internet and Facebook back then was brand new. And I went on Facebook, I had a fake account. I didn't have my personal account. I made a fake account, went on Facebook and there was a lot of Christian pages on Facebook. And I basically said, you know, I'm a Muslim and I would like to know more about Christianity. Can anybody help me? You know, and for 6 months nobody answered me. And it felt like you're butting a message in a bottle and throwing in the ocean and just gonna wait and see if somebody will find you one day. And for 6 months nobody answered me and I was like, well, I did all I can do. There's nothing more I really can do. And just gonna wait and see. And after 6 months, a lady from Athens, Georgia, contacted me on Facebook. And I was so freaked out. I didn't even know there's a state in US called Georgia. And I was like, where are you from? And I just tried to talk to her on Facebook, tried to check out her profile to make sure it's real profile because I know the difference between fake and real. I have the fake one. So I tried to look at her Facebook profile and was so freaked out for a while and tried to talk to her. And I tell you what, for a year and a half, she and her husband, her name is Norma Lott, she's from Athens, Georgia, and her husband Donnie, for a year and a half, they helped me so much to understand what I was reading. And she told me, well, let's put Revelation aside now and let's start reading in Genesis. It will make more sense to you. And it did. And I was so ignorant, I had no idea what I was reading, and she and her husband really helped me a lot to understand what I was reading. And we studied for about a year and a half, and then she told me there is someone coming to Cairo, Egypt, and he would like to meet you. If you really, you know, want to know more about Christianity, you should go ahead and meet him. And I was like, well, I know I feel safe talking to you on Facebook. I'm not sure if I'll be able to meet somebody. I don't think I can do that. And she was like, okay, and she didn't answer me back. I was like, you know, that's fine. And one day I was getting ready to go to school. I woke up at 6 in the morning getting ready to go to school in Egypt and somebody called me. He was like, hey, I'm Don and I'm in Cairo, Egypt, and Norma told me you'd like to meet me. And I had no idea how he got my phone number from. But I remember I gave it to Norma one day and I regretted it. And so Don called me at 6 in the morning. He was like, well, I'm in Cairo, Egypt, and you know, I would like to meet you. Would you like to come and meet us? I was like, yeah, sure. It was like, well, we have tour in the pyramids right now if you would like to come with us. I was like, I'm really sorry, I have to go to school right now and I have been to the pyramids 100 times, I don't really need to go there anymore. And so he told me to go and meet him in the same night in his hotel. And I don't know if you guys heard about the Mina House Hotel or not, but it's one of the oldest, fanciest hotels in the Middle East. It's $5,000 a night. And there's no way a teenager like me can get in. And I called him. I was like, Don, I can't get in the hotel. I have to wait you outside, and you have to come outside and pick me up. And he was like, all right, I'll do that. And that's how the hotel, it's so fancy. And the main house is actually like right by the pyramids. You can see the pyramids from your window. And so Don came outside and he picked me up, and for hours, I just had a lot of questions in my mind. You know, it's not Facebook anymore. It's an actual person in front of me. I can actually touch him. And for hours, I just had a lot of questions. And all his answers really made sense to me. You know, after 3 or 4 hours, I told him, I'm really sorry, I gotta go. I didn't tell my parents I'm coming to meet you, so I think it would be a good idea to leave now. And I left. But before I leave, I told him, you know, I really do believe in the Bible now, and I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and everything. So I would like to get baptized, but he didn't answer me. He was like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. I was like, that's okay. And so he didn't answer me at all, but next day he texted me, and he was going to Alexandria the next day, and he texted me. He was like, would you like to come with us to Alexandria? I was like, I'm really sorry, I have a school. But he was like, all right, just come and meet us the same time outside and I'll pick you up. I was like, all right. And he told me, just don't forget to bring extra clothes with you. He was like, bring extra clothes with me? He was like, yeah, don't you want to get baptized? I was like, yeah. He was like, all right, just come and meet us at 8 o'clock, and I will come and pick you up. And I think I get baptized in the coolest place you can ever get baptized in. I mean, look at that. A swimming pool right by the pyramids. You can't beat that. And so I waited him outside. We got in, we went by the swimming pool, and I was so scared. I mean, just all stuff going in my head, and I was really scared. We were getting ready to get baptized, and we were standing by the swimming pool, and out of nowhere, a security guard came to me, because I'm the only one who looked Egyptian. However, I think Don looked Middle Eastern as well. But he came to me and he was like, hey, how are you? I was like, I'm doing well. He was like, do you have a lighter, please? I was like, I'm sorry, I don't. He was like, okay, what's your room number? I was like, what? He was like, yeah, don't you have room in here? And I looked at Don, I was like, Don, what's my room number? And Don was like, just don't worry about it. And he took him to the front desk and told them that I'm just his guest and we're going to swim for a while. And the guy left. But after that, I was just so freaked out. I was like, Don, there's somebody actually saw me standing with you by the swimming pool. I'm not going to do it. No, forget it. And no, I really believe in God. I just can't do it. There's somebody actually saw me standing with you. I don't think I can do that. And so Don told me the story of Moses when he was getting out of Egypt. And he was getting out of Egypt, and the Red Sea was in front of him, and the Pharaoh was right behind him, and he knew he was going to die. He knew he can't escape from them. He knew he had no choice. But he had prayed for God, and he told him, God, you know, I have no choice but you. If you help me, if you want to save me and save your people, please help us. And Don told me, because God is so powerful, he divided the Red Sea. And I've been to the Red Sea. It's huge. To divide the Red Sea, it needs a lot of power. And so God divided the Red Sea for him and saved him. And as a bonus, he killed all the Pharaoh and the Egyptians for him. Which I don't like that part, but. And so after Don told me the story, and he convinced me. And I got baptized over there. And yes, I think it's the coolest place you can ever get baptized in. But anyway, after that, 2 days later, Don Patton left Egypt and he went back to US. And then 2 weeks later, somebody messaged me on Facebook, and he was like, well, Norma told me about you, and I'm coming to Cairo, Egypt, and I would like to meet you. And I was like, well, I've met somebody before. I don't think it's going to be a big deal to meet another person. I'm down. I can do that. And so I met Bob Buchanan. And Bob was not staying in the same nice hotel that Don was staying in, so it was easy for me to go and meet him. And actually, I have to give a lot of credit to Bob. I was studying with Norma for a while, but nobody actually like helped me to know how to read the Bible. What's Matthew 5:14? I just didn't know a lot of stuff, and Bob really helped me so much with that. And I really appreciate what he did to me. And Bob actually came 3 times to Egypt before I come to US. And he just helped me so much, and I really appreciate what he did for me. And so when Bob was in Egypt, he introduced me to a Christian family to worship with. And a congregation. And so he introduced me to David. He was working in the American Embassy in Cairo. And I think, if I'm correct, he's from Louisiana. And he was living in Egypt, and he was a Christian. And so I used to go to David's house. First couple of times I was kind of freaked, I was kind of scared to meet him. I used to go to his house, worship with him every Sunday night. And so David told me he's leaving Cairo and going to a different city. And so before he leaves, he told me to go with him to a congregation in Cairo. And I was really scared to go there, but I mean, I have no choice, I gotta go with him. And so I did. And I don't know if you can tell or not, but everybody was sitting on this side was Egyptian, and everybody was sitting on that side was American. And we had a sermon in Arabic and in English, and we had Lord's Supper. It was just perfect worship. And so, 2 days later, David left Cairo and went to Alexandria, I believe. And so I went there next Sunday by myself, but it wasn't correct. I mean, we didn't have Lord's Supper at all. It just didn't really work out very well. And I called David. I was like, well, that's what happened. And he was like, well, it's not really Church of Christ, but we used to go there just, you know, to worship with them, but they're not the right congregation for you to go to. And that was really good because I didn't want to go there anymore. I felt so scared every time stepping in. So I didn't go there after that. And that's how the building looks from outside. It's one of the oldest church buildings in downtown Cairo. Really old, really unique building. And so a few months later, Bob Buchanan came again, second trip, he came back to Egypt. And he told me he would like to go to Mount Sinai, where Moses was. And I was like, sure, I can take you there. And I took him there, that's me standing at the top of Mount Sinai, which is the highest mountain in Egypt. And we started getting up there, we started climbing at midnight. We get up there at 5, and we got up there actually before sunrise. It was still dark, and we get to see the sunrise. And there was a group of, I think there were Asian people up in the mountain. And as soon as the sun got up, they started bowing down and worshiping to the sun. And it was kind of weird to me. But when we were up in the Mount Sinai, we found this paper. So, it doesn't seem like strong evidence that Moses was there, but close enough. So after went to Mount Sinai, Bob wanted to go back to Cairo, and he wanted to go see the pyramids and ride a camel. Because if you're from Egypt, you have to have a camel somehow. So I took him to the pyramids, and we rode camels. And I live 25 minutes away from the pyramids and like 10 minutes away from the Nile. I live almost in downtown Cairo. And so after that, Bob asked me he would like to go and eat the most authentic Egyptian meal he can ever find. And I was like, okay, I can fix that for you. And I took him to eat kosher. It's my favorite dish. And I couldn't find it anywhere in US except in New York City. And I don't think I'm gonna fly to New York City to eat it, so I'm kind of stuck for now. But kosher, it's the most popular meal in Egypt. There's a lot of stuff in it. There's rice, lentils, it's just a lot of stuff in it. And when Bob ate it, he was like, that's really delicious, but don't you guys have any meat in it? I was like, no, it's just for vegetarian. And so kosher is the most popular meal in Egypt. It's almost as popular as the cheeseburger in US. And so after Bob Buchanan left Egypt and I couldn't go worship with David and his family anymore, and I couldn't go to the congregation in Cairo anymore, I felt really guilty. You know, I'm a Christian now, I get baptized, I do believe in the truth, but I can't worship, but I have to worship, I just don't know anyone to worship with. And the only people that knew that I'm Christian were 6,500 miles away from me, and I couldn't go there every Sunday to worship with them. And it was just very tough. But once again, I was still young, and there's internet to use to fix that out, and we did. But this time, I didn't use internet. I didn't use Facebook. I used Skype. And I don't know if you guys know Skype or not, but it's a video call. You can video call anybody from anywhere for free. And so we used to do that. But it was really hard trying to find a time that fits all our schedules, because I'm in Cairo, Egypt, and Ashley Barr was in Birmingham, Alabama, which is 7 hours different than Egypt. BJ Sai from Salem, Oregon, which is 11 hours different than Egypt. and Richard and Sandy and Don and Zenda from Arkansas, 8 hours different than Egypt, Norma and Donnie from Georgia. So trying to find the time can fit all our schedules just very hard. But we used to worship every Sunday at 11:30 p.m. in Egypt time, which is noon in Oregon. We did that for a while. And then Don and Zenda, they asked me if I would like to come and study in Florida College. And I was just like, I can't do that, you know. I'm in a school in Egypt. I got 2 more years to get my bachelor's. I'm playing soccer. Here's the team. I just have my life set. I got my car. I got my apartment. Everything set for me. And I can't leave everything and just come to study in Florida College. That's not going to work for me. But they told me, at least just start all the process, start getting all the paperwork, because there's a ton of paperwork you have to go through. So I started just doing all the paperwork, but I knew I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to leave everything I have in Egypt just to go to study in Florida College. And I knew Florida College is not going to accept my credits and have to start all over again. And I was like, I am not going to do that. Just no. But as I was working on my paperwork, there's an Egyptian revolution took place. And so there's just, we had a regime, Mubarak's regime. He was in power for 30 years and he wanted his son to be the president after him. So basically just a lot of young people went down the street and forced him to step down. And it worked. After being in power for 30 years, we actually forced him to step down. And though after that, I got all my paperwork done. It took 2 years, or a year and a half, but all my paperwork was done and I was ready to go. But to leave Cairo University, to leave my university, and I just had 1 more year to finish my degree, just 1 more year, to leave it and to travel 6,500 miles away to Florida College. I've never been there before. I don't know anyone there. Just to leave everything I have and just go to a new place that I've never been there before was really a tough decision, because it meant I would have to leave everything I had. I had to leave my fiance, I had to leave my friends, I had to leave my family, I had to leave my country, and just go to a place that I've never been there before, meet people that I don't know, and completely start a new life. And I didn't know if I could ever do that. It was really hard. And I was studying with Don one day, and he told me about Genesis 12 verse 1. And Genesis 12 verse 1 basically says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, from your people, from your father's household, to a land I'll show you. Basically, the Lord told Abraham, just leave everything you have, leave everything you own, just go to that place that you don't know anybody there, you don't know if you can survive there, just go there. And because Abraham had a strong faith in God, he just completely followed what God told him to do, blindly, just completely did, just completely did what God told him to do. And it was just very hard on me. I mean, I was playing soccer semi-pro. I was going to play professional next year. I was getting paid. I had one year to finish my degree. Just everything was set for me. Just leaving everything and go there was a very tough decision. But then I decided, well, I want to go to be able to practice Christianity freely. And so I went to U.S. I went to Florida College. And when I got to Florida College, I got to meet BJ Saib, the one I used to Skype from Oregon. And he was my first roommate. And let me tell you what, my first couple months in FC were very, very rough, because everybody knew me. Everybody used to come to me and was like, yeah, I know you. You're the guy from Egypt. Hey. Like, hey. But I didn't really know anyone. And the most stupid questions that everybody will come to me and ask me is like, hey, do you guys have camels in Egypt? And I just, almost everyone came to me and was like, do you guys live in a tent? I was like, well, it gets really cold at night, so I don't think tent would be a good idea. It was just a lot of people trying to get to know me. And after first semester, I knew everyone in FC. Almost everyone was my friend. And so when I was in Florida, I got to attend North Boulevard Church of Christ, and they're a wonderful, wonderful family. I don't know if you guys know John Shirley. He's my Bible class teacher, and he's the one who actually helped me to do this PowerPoint. And I just love it over there. And I don't know if you guys heard about Florida College or not, but we have what's known as societies in Florida College. And I got to join one of them. I got to join Arte. And, you know, Florida College was just completely different experience for me. You know, I was in college in Egypt, but what I got in Florida College was just completely different. Because I don't know if you guys heard about Florida College or not, but there's something in Florida College called chapel. It's every day before you go to your classes, you go sing, praise the Lord, and pray, and there's a small lesson, just a small worship to God every day before you go to your classes. And I never experienced that. I never experienced anything like that before. And it's just amazing experience to worship God and to get to know God and to pray to Him and sing to Him every day before you go to your classes. Just amazing experience for me. But as I said, first couple months in Florida College was very hard on me. And I was actually looking at flight tickets. I was like, I can't survive here anymore. I just can't do that. And just gotta go back to Egypt. It was really hard. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a car. I just didn't know what to do, anything at all. I've been to 25 countries before, but US was not one of them. And it was just new to me. And I just had no idea what to do. I didn't know how to go to anything. And I was looking at flight tickets. I was like, I gotta go back to Egypt. I cannot survive here anymore. It's not gonna work. But then when you read Mark 10, verse 29 and verse 30, and it tells you, verse 29, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much. And it's so true. You know, when I came here, I didn't know anyone. But there's a lot of people message me on Facebook and text me like, oh, we're so proud of you. We're praying for you. Keep it going. And I didn't even know them. And my freshman year in Florida College, I was in the adoption program, and they told me I was adopted by 15 families, and that never happened in FC history before. Just a lot of people that I don't even know text me and support me. And I remember when I was in Egypt, Don and Zinda and Norman, a lot of people told me, oh, the Christian family are the most amazing family you ever get to meet in your life. But I didn't really know what they were talking about until I got here to US. And just everyone, like last summer, I've been to 15 states, preached every Sunday morning and night. Just people take me to their home and just welcome me, and people are very hospitable and very nice to me and trying to help me. And they don't even know me. And when I came yesterday to Mountain Homes, he had never seen me before in his life before. But he welcomed me in his home and he fed me and stayed the night in his home and never met me before. It just shows you how amazing the Christian family is. And seriously, if it wasn't for the Christian family, I wouldn't be able to make it here in US for 4 years now. It was just very hard to take it on my own. It was my own. But I also always try to remember I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And it's just so true. I could not have done it here by myself. It was no way for me. I felt so isolated. I just was completely by myself. And with the Christian family and with God and with Jesus, I got to get over that. And so in Florida College, I just get to meet a lot of people. I had a lot. After my first semester, everyone in Florida College was my friend. Everyone was very close to me. But I tell you what, 5 years ago, you know, I was in Cairo, Egypt. I've never expected to be here in Mountain Home preaching on how I convert from Islam to Christianity. I'd have never expected me to, you know, I didn't even know there was a state in the U.S. called Arkansas. But, you know, I was trying to find the truth. I was trying to know what's right and what's wrong. And I just had an open, pure heart to approach others. And because I was trying to find the truth, God helped me. It was a lady from Athens, Georgia, that contacted me on Facebook, and because of her, I'm here right now. And that's exactly what Matthew 7 and 8 tells you. He basically tells you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and for the one who seeks finds, and for the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Just so true. I was in Cairo, Egypt. Didn't know anything about Christianity, didn't know anything about Mountain Homes in Arkansas, just never heard of it before. But I'm standing here today telling you how I convert from Islam to Christianity. That's how God works. He uses us as tools to accomplish His plan, to fulfill His plan. And it just, so I always try to encourage people, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter who your family are, it doesn't matter what your background are, if you really have a pure, open heart, Just trying to find the truth. Just trying to see God. Just trying to get closer to Him. He will get closer to you. And so just like Nicodemus' story, you know, I believe that everyone has a story. He was a Jewish ruling counselor. He was a very high rank. He was very rich. But he was a secret admirer of Jesus. And he used to go meet Him under the cover of darkness. And he risked everything he had just to go to meet Jesus and to know more about Him. And because of that, he got to lose everything he had. But he won his eternity with God. And so, just like Nicodemus, I always believe that everybody have a path. Everybody have a journey. Everybody have a story. And it really, as I said, it really doesn't matter who you are. I was in Cairo, Egypt, just trying to find the truth. And God was always going to help you. And just like Nicodemus, just we need to always try to keep going. We might lose some stuff in earth, but we will get our eternal life. And I always think about it as, you know, Jesus came to earth and all His mission to die on the cross to give us an eternal life. I mean, what would you do if you know that somebody have died for you? What would you do if you were going in a car accident and somebody saved you and he died instead of you? What would you do for them? How about Jesus Christ who came and just died on the cross humbly to give us an eternal life? We have to pay Him. And that's always the way I try to look at it. I always try to pay Him back. I always try to do something back for Him for what He did for me. So 5 years ago or 4 years ago, you know, spiritually, God has taken me to places that I have never expected I would go. Never expected I would go. And if God can bring somebody from Cairo, Egypt to Mountain Home, Arkansas, God can do the same for you. And I don't really know where are you in your journey right now. I don't know if you found the truth or not. I don't know if you found the truth, but, you know, there's a lot of rocks and we got to stumble sometimes. But you always can stand, but the Christian family can always help you. They did help me a lot, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And that's basically how I came from Egypt to here. I mean, there's a lot to the story, but that's basically long story short. And that's how I came from U.S. to here, and that's how Don and Norma, and just everyone here. And I have to thank you all so much for giving me a chance to be here today and to speak with you. I really, really appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Do you want to take any questions now? We have a few minutes left.
Sure. I don't know if anybody have a question right now, but and please
say thank you to your parents about being converted.
Well, my family doesn't know I'm a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I don't think my own parents are going to like kill me or harm me or anything, but we have a really, really strong relationship with my family, and I just don't want to lose the relationship with my family. And so, they know I'm here to study and so forth, but they don't know I converted to Christianity. So I'm trying to keep it as low as I can. So, sure.
Are you afraid of being murdered by someone over there because you're a Christian?
Well, it's not just over there, honestly. When I applied in Florida College, when I was still in Egypt and applied to Florida College, they rejected me the first time. They told me, sorry, you can't come to FC. And I called Don. I was like, Don, you told me I can come, but they rejected me. He was like, well, you need to call Buddy Payne, the president of Florida College. And I called him. I was like, you guys rejected me, really? And he was like, well, there's a mosque 2 miles away from FC. They're not sure if people there are extreme or not. They don't know if people there are going to get to know about me and they do anything for FC. And I had to promise him that I will keep it low and I'm not going to tell anybody my story at all. So you just got to do what you got to do sometimes. So
did you read the Quran very much?
I did. I used to memorize half of the Quran, but I don't anymore. Right. So don't tell my mom. But yeah, I...
How does it relate as far as the Bible, as far as a reading? What I've read of the Quran basically doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, you have to read it in Arabic. It's not going to make any sense in any other language, honestly. That was my first problem, you know. I was like, what if somebody can't read Arabic? What? I mean, you can read it in other language, but it's not going to make sense to you.
Okay.
So, and I always wonder, what if somebody can't speak Arabic, but he want to be a Muslim, what he would do? You know, and so, yeah, you have to read Arabic to make sense.
You lose a lot in the translation with the Quran in English.
You do.
Okay.
You really do.
Has your parents gonna come see you?
I don't know. My mom, even though when my dad was working outside Egypt all his life, my mom was always want to stay in Egypt and she don't want to leave Egypt at all. But my dad is like, you know, he has been working outside all his life and he doesn't. Maybe one day, I don't know. I hope not soon. I don't really know, but they're not planning on it anytime soon, so I don't know.
Is it true that Muslims are taught to kill infidels?
Well, okay, let me give you an example, because it's easier that way. I've been to a lot of countries and met people from almost everywhere.
Can you slow down a little bit?
Okay. I have been to 25 countries. I've got to meet people from almost everywhere. I've been to Saudi Arabia many times, but I've never been to Afghanistan before. But basically, there's three different kind of Islam. You know, Islam in Afghanistan, Islam in Saudi Arabia, Islam in Northern Africa and Egypt, and the rest. Islam in Afghanistan, if you don't agree with them, they're going to kill you. It's the same scripture, but that's how they understand it. If you don't agree with us, we are just going to kill you. Islam in Saudi Arabia, if you don't agree with us, we are not going to talk to you. We will have nothing to do with you at all. Islam in Egypt, because we have a lot of Christians. Islam in Egypt, you know, it's completely fine to be a Christian, to be believe in other religion. It's completely fine. But the problem is when you convert, that's in Egypt. But there's nothing wrong with being a Christian in Egypt. There's people, Christian in the government and the military, it's everywhere. So it really matters on where you're from, on your society, on your background. So it may be the same scripture, but how people understand it. So,
do you plan to go back to Egypt?
Since I've been here, I've been to Egypt twice. My summer break, my first summer break, and not last Christmas, but the one before. And I just miss my family and miss Egypt like you have no crazy. Just want to go there so bad. But for now, I can't. And so sometimes you gotta do what you. Sometimes you don't always do what you want to do, but you have to do what's smart for you. And it's hard, but that's what I'm trying to do. And so, I just want to go over there so bad, but not for a while, I guess. Okay, I think it's already time anyway. So it was good to talk with you all today, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Toddy.
And thank our visitors for coming.